this evening, wonderful December evening. Please turn with me to, in the Word of God, to the book of Luke, chapter 6. We'll be reading in Luke 6, verses 46 through 49 this evening. Luke 6, 46 through 49. If you're using one of the Bibles provided for you, that can be found starting on the right-hand side of, lower right-hand side of page 911. Luke 6, 46 through 49. The word of the Lord says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundations on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great."
Good evening. Good to see you tonight. Happy that you're here. Delighted that you've come our way. Good to see that Dawn was able to make it out tonight as well. And he hasn't been feeling well, and it's wonderful that he can be with us tonight. So happy that everyone is here with us this evening for worship in spirit and truth. Our children, we sing that classical song, "The Wise Men Built His House Upon the Rock." And you know the words well. I think maybe Jeff and I almost had Zach convinced that it was okay to lead that song tonight, but he opted out. He backed out. But our children sing that song all the time. It's a beautiful little song. It has an important lesson. The wise men built his house upon the rock, and the rain came tumbling down. Oh, the rain came down, the floods came up. The rain came down, the floods came up. And then we go on and we sing about that wise man's house. Because it was based upon the rock, it stood firm. The foolish man, however, he built his house upon the sand. The storms came, the floods came up, and the part I think the children really enjoying that song is really making the noise when it goes flat, you know. And then we finish it up with "Build Your Life on the Lord Jesus Christ." What a beautiful, beautiful song. Tonight I want us to look at and take some time and look at those two priceless passages that teach a very valuable lesson to us about building our lives on Jesus Christ. Let's first of all turn to those two times that this lesson is recorded, once by Matthew and also by Luke. Matthew and Luke, as they're recording Jesus sharing this lesson, the differences are somewhat subtle, but they're there. Not that the main point isn't there, but I want you to see this for yourself tonight. If you have your Bibles, let's turn over there to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. And as Jesus is finishing up what we call the Sermon on the Mount, listen to how he finishes up this lesson, this series of lessons. He says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat on the house. It did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall." And there's the part in the song where the children say splat. You know, they love that. But as Vince read for us tonight in the book of Luke, Luke records it just a little bit different. And I want us to go over there and just notice that subtle difference here, because it will indeed play in our lesson tonight, beginning in verse 46 in Luke chapter 6. Luke says, records Jesus saying, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" He says, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I'll show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep. He laid the foundation on the rock. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like the man who built his house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Notice that both parables are almost identical, and certainly both parables are designed to teach the same lesson. Matthew has a more direct approach, whereas Luke gives, it seems to be, a little more direction in his approach. For example, Matthew gets right to the point with regards to recording what Jesus says. He has Jesus saying, he who hears these sayings of mine and does them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Luke is a little more descriptive. He has Jesus telling us that the wise man, listen, more direction here. He dug deep. He dug until he found solid rock. Don't dismiss that point in your mind. He dug until finally he found solid rock. And he built his house. Whereas the foolish man simply just built. He just built. The wise man, he put forth the effort and he was happy with building on the rock. Wasn't happy until he found the rock to build up on. You know, when we identify some terms shortly, we'll come back to those differences. But for now, let's look basically at the main point. What Jesus wanted his disciples to do. What Jesus wants mankind to do. There in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Again, therefore whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. I'll liken him to that wise man who built his house on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he's like that foolish man in verse 24 and in verse 26. It's obvious that the main point that Jesus is making, folks, is hearing, not only hearing, but hearing what he says, hearing what God says, and doing what he says, as opposed to a man just simply, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. But are you doing what I'm saying to do? God has always, folks, listen to me, he has always favored and blessed the one who hears and does what he says. Always. It doesn't matter if you look in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. God has always favored and he has always blessed the one who not only hears what he says, but does what he says. You know, Jesus was emphatic about this throughout his ministry. Going back to that Sermon on the Mount, you remember there in Matthew chapter 7, and I want to begin there in verse 21. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. The key there, folks, that Jesus is trying to get across to us for a couple points is the very fact that he who does the will of my Father in heaven, it's not enough to just simply hear it or kid yourself into thinking that you're consistent. Obviously, these folks weren't. They thought they were. Well, we've done many good things in your name, Lord. We've been upstanding disciples. But something was wrong because he said you were lawless. You didn't truly obey all that I commanded you to do. Isn't that interesting? Because Jesus stays in this same framework here in this particular dialogue. Because then he goes on, he says here earlier about the narrow gate and the wide gate in verse 13 of Matthew chapter 7. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. One might say, well, how does that compare with the wise man and the foolish man? Verse 13, destruction. Again, in verses 15 and following, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You'll know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is what? Cut down and thrown into the fire. What does that have to do with the wise man and the foolish man? Destruction. Destruction. You see, Jesus stays on cue. He stays on point with what he's saying. And the point is this. I'm instructing you on how to live your life. I'm showing you how to live your life like me. And if you're not doing what I'm saying that you must do to have everlasting life, the only alternative, folks, it's destruction. Kind of a big deal. Kind of a big deal. Jesus was emphatic about this. You remember there in Luke in chapter 6 and verse 46, we just read that about doing as he says. And in Luke in chapter 8 and verse 21, Jesus would continue on with this point. He would say, with regards to his family, you remember one time his family came to see him? And folks, if this doesn't shed light, the passage I'm about ready to share with you and show you, if it doesn't shed light, if it doesn't show you how opportunistic Jesus is, we're just not getting it. Our eyes are not open. Go back and look in verse 20 or 19. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, and they could not approach him because of a crowd. And it was told to him by some who said, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. They want to see you, Jesus. Now, what right-thinking person would have said, oh, thank you, let them know I'll be with them in just a minute, or if we can make room, let's just bring them on in here right now, and I'm finishing up this lesson, and they'll have an opportunity to hear it. Maybe that's the slant you would have taken, I would have taken. But I want you to see how Jesus' mind works. And this is redeeming the time, as the Apostle Paul told those saints in Ephesus. Making the most of every opportunity that is given to you to give glory to God and using that as an evangelistic podium or platform to do God's will. Listen to what he says. He says this in verse 21. He answered and he said to them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Did you catch that? Of all the things that Jesus could have said, they're waiting to see you, Jesus. Oh, tell them I'll be out there in a minute. That's not what he said. He says, who's my family? I'll tell you who my family is. In church, I have said this forever. My forever family is the kingdom of God, is the church. That's my forever family, you see. And I think that's what Jesus is saying. This is what family is right here. This is what family is. Going on, you remember there in John chapter 13 and verse 17, Jesus would say, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Again, there in John chapter 15 and verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. I don't see how it can get any clearer to you. I don't see how it can get any clearer than that. That is why James wrote the very thing that he did there in James chapter 1 and verse 22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Did you catch that? Be doers of the word and not hearers only. There's a lot of hearers out there, folks. I'm here to tell you, God is looking for doers. God is looking for doers. The game changer in our lives is putting into practice what God tells us to do. That's the game changer right there. Hearing by itself is just not enough. Faith by itself, James would go on, you remember there in James chapter 2 and verse 24, faith alone is not enough. It has to be complemented with works. It has to be complemented with works. So let's just briefly, if we could, identify just a couple key items in this parable. First of all, one of the key items is the fact that the rock, in both parables, the wise man built his house on the rock. And that rock represents Jesus Christ and his eternal truths. You know, you and I both have heard that there's no sure thing in this world except perhaps a couple of things, and that's death and taxes. And there's probably some truth to that. But I'll tell you something else that is for sure and certain, and that is God's Word. It is for sure. It is certain. Everything that God has said will happen, has happened. Everything that God says can happen or will be occurring in the end will happen, will come to pass. As a matter of fact, it will be the only thing that is standing when the world is on fire. You remember there in 1 Peter chapter 1, as Peter was emphasizing the beauty of one whose heart is pricked by the Word of God and they obey the Word of God and it changes their lives. But I want you to notice what Peter says here in verse 21 of James, or 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. He says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow in his steps. Whoa, did you catch that? I don't like this suffering. Peter's telling the Christians then, well, it's just a sign of Christianity. It's a sign of being like Jesus, who committed no sin, nor is deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he says, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously. He's trying to show us to be just like Jesus. How do we know to be just like Jesus? Through his word that he just pointed out earlier. Back here in 1 Peter chapter 1, he says the following with regards to you being that chosen generation. Verse 22, he says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God. Listen to this. Which lives and abides forever How long is forever? It's forever. Then he goes on and he says, because all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. The grass withers away, the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord, it endures forever. Brethren, when the world is on fire, the only thing that is going to stand is the word of God. That's it. That is it. Suffice to say, when we abandon God's word, our world falls apart. It does, doesn't it? Tell me, brethren, what person do you know who's walked away from God and His eternal kingdom? They're better people for it, or because of it. I know of no one, do you? There's simply the fact that remains that when one walks away from what God says, when one steps out of favor with God and walks away from His eternal kingdom, we're not better people. We're not better fathers. We're not better mothers. We're not better sons. We're not better daughters. We're not better brothers. We're not better sisters. We're just not better people when we step out on God. Let me ask you something. And don't mention any names. But we know of folks that who used to sit perhaps right where you sit now, who used to attend this very congregation, and oh, they were so faithful at one point and one time in their life, singing the songs like you're singing them, sitting there, amening the preacher, participating in the Lord's Supper. And some way, somehow, something happened and they left. And as time marches on, water begins to make its way under the bridge. A year goes by, 2 years go by, and we see him or her doing something that we're just scratching our head and we're saying, what in the world happened? What happened? I'll tell you what happened. They stop hearing, and they stop doing. They just stopped. And they're so far out there now that we don't even recognize them anymore. Can we win them back? Can they come back? Absolutely. If they want to. If they want to. This leads me to our second point, the sand. You know, the sand represents people who built their lives on things that are sure to fail. I'm reminded of that song we sing, There Stands a Rock. It's in your songbooks on page 664. But the chorus kind of goes something like this. Some build their hopes on the ever-drifting sand. Some on their fame or their treasure or their land. But mine's on the rock that will forever stand. Jesus, the rock of ages. It boggles my mind why folks choose to build on the sand. It really does. I just scratch my head. Why do folks not see the danger of building on anything else but than Jesus Christ? How is it they don't see the danger? I'm going to suggest just a few reasons tonight, and this lesson is yours. Now, it's not to say these are the only reasons. These are just a few. First of all, I'm going to suggest to you the reason that folks build on the sand is, brethren, is, you know what? It takes effort to build on the rock. It takes effort. Do you remember Luke's account? Do you remember the wise man? He dug and he dug and he dug until he found the rock. Brethren, it takes effort to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It takes effort to be a dedicated disciple of Jesus Christ. No wonder Jesus said what he did. Take up your cross and follow after me. Friends, there's nothing shallow about taking up a cross and carrying it. But sadly, that's wasted energy according to some folks. Just don't want to put out the effort for it. Let the neighbors do it. Let other family members do it. But I'm here to tell you, in the end, when that great fall occurs, as Jesus expressed twice in those two parables that we read tonight, there's going to be folks wishing they would have put forth the effort. Ever built something that you realize you just did it haphazardly? Now, I'll tell you, if I put the effort into something and try to build something, chances are highly likely it's not going to work out because I'm not good. Bob the Builder, I'm not. I remember when my boys were little, I remember when Trey was just a little guy. And we used to sing that song, Bob the Builder, all the time. Bob the Builder. And I remember, and I looked and I said, can we fix it? He says, no, Daddy, you can't. But it wasn't a lack for trying, Roger. I really try. I do. I was either demoted water boy or promoted water boy. Whenever at the pavilion at Archie and Reva's Ponderosa, at the pavilion, those picnic tables, one of the members of the Lord's Church, Jake Yoder, who was Jake built those with his own two hands. Well, I remember when Jake built his house just outside of Millersburg. They were moving from a trailer. His family was expanding. And he built a nice, beautiful home. And I remember I was trying to drive a nail. I'm telling on myself again, but I was trying to drive a nail down into the floor. And Jake says, that's not necessary, in that Amish voice. You know, he says, why don't you just get us water when we need it? So I guess if I wanted to be depressed, I could have got all upset. But I was like, man, I've been promoted water boy. That's great. You know, it's just all how you look at it, folks. You come to the red light, you can either get mad that you're caught by the red light, or you can look at that red light and say, I am first at the light today. You know, it's just a matter of how you look at it. But it takes effort. Brethren, I'll tell you another reason is this. It takes immediate involvement. Some folks see for themselves what God says, but they fail to immediately put it into practice. They don't act upon what they've heard. And because they don't act immediately upon what they heard, sadly they walk away and what? They forget about it. James said that, didn't he? It's like a man who observes himself in the mirror and then he walks away and he forgets what kind of man he is. Remember that? Oh man, if I had a dollar for every individual who needed to be baptized after they heard the gospel preached to them and walked out those double doors and said, some other day, some other time, some other way, I'll do it. And they still haven't. Oh, maybe some have, but a lot of folks haven't. Someday I will. But you know what? As the clock ticks and the water flows under the bridge, they forget about it. They just forget about it. Some folks don't do what they're supposed to do because they fail to act upon it immediately. I'll get around to it. And they never do. Third and finally, and this lesson is yours. Brother, I'm going to suggest to you why people build on the sand is that their foresight isn't that great. Their foresight isn't that great. I taught this same lesson to our teenagers Wednesday night. I'm going to tell on you in just a second. But I asked them, I began the class with, you can have any house you want. You get to build your own house. You get to design it, lay out the plans. You know, what kind of house is it? Where is it going to be? I want specifics, though. All the girls, you know, all the girls, their hands went up immediately. You know, they've got it all figured out. I think only one guy's hand went up. I'm going to talk about him in a minute. But all the girls, their hands went up. Oh, I want a house here, and I want a house there. Okay, in this state, okay, is it out in the country? Is it in the city? Where is your house? Oh, is it on a mountainside? Is it in the lowlands? Where is it? I want some details. And they had some really good ideas. They really did. And I'd, you know, be tickled to. But Zach had his hand up. Now, Courtney had already given me the answer. So, after I had already received all the information with regards to how these kids want their house built, I get back and I go to my second point. And Zach says, excuse me, Mr. Scott, I didn't get to describe to you my house. I said, it doesn't matter. She's already decided it for you. I said, Zach, as long as you remember this, as long as you remember this, technically your vote never really counts. Or if it does, she always has veto power. So, but anyway. So, in this parable, brethren, the foolish man was foolish because of where he built his house. He was in a danger zone. He was in a danger zone. And the storms, oh, when they hit, he didn't consider the fact that, man, this is a floodplain right here. I'm here to tell you, there are some folks, probably some new homeowners this weekend who realize we're in a flood zone. We didn't really think that one through. We didn't think that one through. But let's make application. You know, there's one thing that the wise men and the foolish men, they both had in common, is they both encountered storms. Did you know that? They both encountered storms. The storms come in all shapes and sizes. This is Ohio, folks. 5 days ago, you know, we'd have snow and it's, you know, 14 degrees outside. Some people are slipping and sliding on ice. This weekend, I had to ask some folks, did you take a boat to come in here? You know, and it's 60 degrees outside. The storms come in all shapes and sizes. It happens that way in our lives, doesn't it? We know that to be true. Sometimes it's that unexpected tragedy. Just didn't see it coming. Did not see that coming. Sometimes it's the unwelcome and unwanted news from the doctor. It's a storm. However, when it arrives and whatever it is, we know this, it brings with it pain and sorrow. It's a storm. It's a storm. That's the bad news. Is there any good news? There is. Listen to me. Don't you forget this. There is for the person who builds on the rock. There's good news. There's good news. Because none of us are immune to storms. Maybe there's someone in your life, listen to me, you've looked at and you thought, oh man, they've got it all together. They're Mr. and Mrs. Perfect and their kids are blah, blah, blah. And they've got this achievement and that achievement. I want to challenge you. Get to know them. Because you'll realize they're just like you and they have storms in their lives that they've weathered. And the only way they've gotten through them is with God's help. Because they have built their life on God's Word. And with God's strength and God's comfort to get them through day by day. That's the only way. That is the only way. As opposed to the person who doesn't build their life on Christ. How in the world they do it, I do not know. I want to encourage you tonight, make a wise decision. Be like that wise man who built his house on the rock. Don't just sit there and say, I hear you, preacher. I hear what God's Word is saying. Do it. Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. Make tonight the night that you come forward repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, and be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of those sins. Make tonight the night. And keep building on that rock. Maybe you've... Maybe you've made that decision. Maybe we're just having a little bit of an identity crisis where we're going through that same episode where we call Him Lord, Lord, and we're doing some good things, but are we doing all that we can to please God? And in the end, will He say, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of lawlessness. Folks, God doesn't want us halfway in. He wants us all the way in. All the way. And maybe tonight, you need to come back. Renew and restore your relationship with God. If we can assist you, please come forward. Together we stand and we sing.